Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up with shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Yes, yes, you are now talking with TD. I am your host, Teron Davenport. We are coming to you live from Indianapolis, the site of the 2023 NFL Combine. This is what we do. It's draft time. This is going to be a great season. Another spring, late winter and spring opportunity to just bring you nonstop draft talk. That's what we do. I'm Teron Davenport. I got David James over there making it happen.
Yes, sir.
Man, this has been an interesting week so far. We got to talk to Rand Carthon. Once again, we got to talk to Mike Vrabel. We had a sidebar with Tim Kelly as well, the new offensive coordinator. Some different things coming out of there. We'll start with Tim Kelly, and then we'll go ahead and get into a little more of this with Chris Sanders for Run TMC. And obviously, we're here at the Combine, so we're going to have to bring you that draft talk, talk about some of these prospects. We got to discuss some things with the outside linebackers and defensive linemen. So we got some samples there for you guys to hear. It's pretty interesting what he said, right? And one of the things that he mentioned, because I asked him about finding ways to get the playmakers the football. And it's not something that happened frequently last year, but one of the things that he said was it's going to really depend on the player. And what Tim Kelly wants to do is take advantage of the versatility. I asked him about packages, you know, creating those for those guys. And that's something that he's going to look to do. The flow of the game is really important. That's one of the factors that kind of took them out of opportunities last year. But this year, that's, you know, they're going to definitely be aware of the flow of the game and how things go. I think it's good to have it in mind that you want to get guys to football, your playmakers, that is. And Mike Vrabel, actually, he mentioned how the offense, he said he wouldn't see it not being drastically different. And when I heard that, I kind of like raised an eyebrow and it my ears perked up because he's saying that it's going to be somewhat different from last year. And then you look at Tim Kelly. He was asked about running the ball, like if the offense was too predictable. And he said that it wasn't too predictable. I think that was just, you know, kind of trying to show respect to Todd Downing and not throw any dirt on his name and what happened last year. But when he was asked about running on first down and how predictable that was, he was like, I didn't call runs on first down. So I thought that was kind of it had conflicting. He knows that it was predictable. And the Titans are going to have to get away from that this year. Obviously, offensively, you know, when you're, 28th in the league in average points, you know, just barely above 20 points a game, it's not going to work. And as a result of that, that's why you saw that team not in the playoffs. So I thought that was pretty cool with Tim Kelly. He actually mentioned some things with Ryan Tannehill, too. He said he's excited to work with Ryan Tannehill going forward. It's an advantage having a quarterback like Tannehill that could go ahead and help install the offense. And a lot of it is carryover. There's going to be some different terminology. They'll still have core zone run concepts. You'll see some gap and power as well, which is another good thing. Gap and especially power is great to run with a guy like Derrick Henry, but so is outside zone. Inside zone, you know, those are things that are all going to work. So Tim Kelly, we finally got to discuss some things with him. I thought that was really good. Mike Vrabel had some comments there. And I'll just peel back real quick to Tim Kelly on Treylon Burks. I asked him about Burks taking the next step forward. And he said the biggest thing, you know, obviously is availability, but he also mentioned consistency. And I thought it was pretty cool how he pointed to the Packers game where Burks, he caught that go ball, you know, the play action, throw it down the field, and it was on Jair Alexander. And when you're making plays against a top five corner, you're showing why you were a first round pick and you're showing potential to be a top receiver on the team. So that's going to be huge for Burks to pile on that. But with Mike Vrabel, it was the same thing once again with Tannehill. These guys aren't fully committing to him, but they're not decommitting either. They're doing an excellent job of just kind of straddling the fence. And that's something that is, you're going to keep getting those questions, right? You're going to keep getting them and getting them and getting them if you're going to be so non-committal. You know, I just don't know what direction they're going to go. You look at this draft, there's, you know, four quarterbacks that are top level guys that most teams would want. Obviously, Anthony Richardson and Will Levis, you're rolling the dice, right? Because these are potential guys, whereas you have more finished product than C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young. And that's why those names are so high on the list. And you look at the number three pick. I talked to Monty Asafort, GM of the Cardinals, and he said that they would be interested in moving down, and they're willing to field calls. They haven't fielded any, but that's something that they're expecting to happen at some point. And I think that's going to be one of the teams trying to move up to get a quarterback, especially if the Bears stay put. That's going to be a pretty intriguing thing to watch carry on. But when you look at Mike Vrabel and you look at his comments about speed, here's the thing. They've traditionally liked receivers 6'1", 6'2", in the 200s. They've taken the size over the speed aspect. Now, obviously, if you get a guy that's big and fast, hey, man, you're buy one, get one free. I want to see, because this team has said that they're not going to continue to be the not fastest team on the field. They want to influx speed to the roster. So I want to see if that need for speed is going to allow them to get out of their box, so to speak, of big receivers. You look at guys, you know, Zay Flowers is going to burn. You look at Xavier Smith from FAMU, a guy that I've talked about. I'm not saying, you know, day one or two, and maybe not even day three, but you look at this type of player, 4.38, 4.39 at 5'10", 185, that's not a big receiver. So are you going to go off of your big receiver tendency to add pure speed to the roster? There's a bunch of prospects. We'll get into that in the final segment. But there's a bunch of prospects that will work. Now, moving on to Rand Carthon. One of the things I really like about being out here at the Combine is you get opportunities to talk to coaches and GMs from teams other than the one you cover. And naturally, because there's so many 49ers ties, I asked some different guys about Rand Carthon. And D'Amico Ryans had the best answer, David. And it's funny because he said that Rand is everybody's best friend. But yeah, he also straightened up and said that, you know, there's no doubt in his mind that Rand will be an excellent GM for the Titans. Here's D'Amico Ryans on his relationship with Rand Carthon.
My relationship with Rand Carthon is we have a great relationship. Our families are really close. Rand is a great friend, a great mentor to me. I know Rand will be an awesome GM for the Titans because, first and foremost, he's a great man. Rand is very relatable, very personable. Everybody's Rand's best friend. You know, he can connect with anyone, right? And he's always has a big smile on his face. But Rand knows talent. Rand knows how to evaluate talent. And working with him, it's been, we are constantly talking about different players, who will we acquire, who we wouldn't acquire. So there's a lot of conversations over the years with Rand, and I'm pulling for Rand to do an outstanding job, except for two games out of the year. So, but it'll be fun competing against him.
Yeah, that's it right there. And you see the mention of how Rand can relate to anybody, and that was really evident in his opening presser, and even when he came into the room and he shook, you know, hands with the media before he went out to have his opening presser. It's also, you see that in talking to different scouts, you know, while we're out here in Indianapolis, just getting the feedback from everyone, there's not a person in this industry, it seems, that doesn't really like Rand. That's a great thing. Now, you also want to win, though. And one of the things that helped win in San Francisco was the collaboration. It was also John Lynch putting the right people in situations where they could make him and the organization look better. Here's John Lynch on Rand Carthon. I thought it was funny how he said he's excited that Carthon got the opportunity, but hates to see him go. Let's hear what John Lynch had to say.
You know, Rand's had a tremendous amount of experience in a variety of roles. And, you know, I felt very blessed when we were able to land Rand years ago and did a tremendous job in our pro department. And then we, you know, we wanted him involved in more than just the pro department because he was worthy of that. And we felt like that would make us better. And so Rand got out there, involved in our college process. You know, I think Rand's greatest quality, he's a tremendous people person. He really gets to know people in a really authentic way. And so, you know, and I can't tell you how many times, hey, Rand, I need you to go find this out, you know. And he was just, he'd always deliver. And because people connect with Rand, you know, when the Titans called, you're always kind of mixed feelings because you don't want to lose someone like that. But he's also earned the opportunity, and, you know, so excited for Rand and the opportunity. I was with Vrabes today talking about how much he's enjoying working with Rand. He's going to do great things for the Titans, and I'm really proud and excited for him.
There you have it right there. Really proud and excited for him. He's going to do great things for the Titans. Now, I will say in their process, the interview process, the Titans did call John Lynch, and they spoke with him, and he gave a really good recommendation. From what I've been told, and obviously the proof is in the pudding, Rand Carthon has gotten the job. Another cool thing, a nugget that came out of there, the combine that is Rand Carthon felt that if it wasn't for the Minority Advancement Convention that they had, the summit, he wouldn't have gotten the opportunity to be in front of the Titans ownership group, you know, Amy Adams Strunk. And he said there was a long line there because everybody knew that they were looking for a GM. And obviously it was a job that he felt most people would want. It's a great opportunity for Carthon to come in and show what he could do, help this roster get back on track. I want to talk to Chris Sanders a little bit about who he thinks is in charge there, but it's a crazy dynamic how it's continuing to play out. Speaking of crazy and dynamic, David, Mike McDaniels is always an interesting person to talk to.
From what I've seen.
The Mitchell story. Yeah, it's he's something else. The Elijah Mitchell story that Rand Carthon had told, as well as D'Amico Ryans, he had mentioned a guy who put a film cut up together of the player and took it to him. That guy happened to be Mike McDaniels. So I asked McDaniels about that. Here's his reply to it being revealed that he was the guy to put a Elijah Mitchell cut up together.
I can't believe he took that bribe. Rand Carthon, somebody I've had several years experience in the National Football League with. I have no doubt in my mind that he's going to do this job as well, if not better than the last job he had. This is the type of person he is. I think the Tennessee Titans are getting a guy that's motivated for the right reasons to do what he does best, and that's evaluate football players. I think he has a great scope of what it takes for a team to win, and all the different variables that are encompassed in that. I think he's a leader of men. I think he'll get the best out of his department, and I think, you know, I you know, especially since he complimented me, I can't say enough nice things about him.
That's so funny, man. Mike McDaniels is, he's like, oh, he took that bribe, huh?
That was just the funniest part.
I thought that was pretty funny. Yeah. So I wanted to just kind of bring you some of the comments that we were able to gather from people who worked with Rand Carthon before and who are happy to see him in the situation that he's in, the GM of the Tennessee Titans. We're going to go to a break. We'll be right back, talk a little more with Chris Sanders on Run TMC.
What's up, everyone? This is Teron Davenport. I want to tell you about Sarah Chevrolet Buick GMC of Nashville. They took great care of me when I got my brand new Camaro. They have hundreds of new or gently pre-owned vehicles, special discounts, and monthly incentives. They don't have any market adjustments, zero dealer ads. Save, save, save. You could go online to chat, check availability, and purchase your vehicle without ever stepping foot into the dealership. Or you could go there and see my guy, Josh Lemon. Either way, check them out at sarahnashville.com. That's S-E-R-R-A, nashville.com. And tell them TD sent you.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Run, run, DMC. For you, fresh, fresh,
fresh, fresh, fresh. Here we go. All right. The music fades. The lights dim.
Did it?
Let it play. And now, coming to you live from Los Angeles for your Los Angeles Clippers at power forward, number 45. Bo Outlaw.
And now, starting as a linebacker for the Denver Broncos, Tom Jackson. Man, well, hold on. How you come up with Bo Outlaw, man?
Yeah, I'll pull him out, man.
I can't do it, man. Dude, you pulled that one out, man. That quite as kept. That kind of hurt my feelings, TD, man.
Yeah, and I went with the original team. I didn't go with his Orlando Magic. I went with the Clippers,
Bo Outlaw, man. What's going on, man? You doing all right? What's good?
Hey, man, life is great, man. Just be happy I didn't call you Reggie Theus. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
But,
awful,
life,
man.
Life is great, man. Life is great out here at the Combine.
How was
it,
though?
Watching these guys, talking to them. Workouts are still yet to be done, you know, especially for the receivers. I wanted to get your take, though.
Sure.
So you remember Mike Vrabel said that speed is something that he wanted to improve. He was tired of not being the fastest team on the field, and obviously that's an area for improvement with this Titans organization. If you look, since he's been there, one of the things that they focused on so much has been size as opposed to speed, or even finding that blend of size and speed.
Right.
I'm talking about speed, like the speed that you had, the legit deep threat speed, the one where the safety is going to be like, yeah, man, I got to play a little deeper. They haven't had a guy to make them do that. Do you think, with the emphasis being placed more on speed, do you think that means they may have to get away from the typical body type that they've preferred, right? The 6'2", 215-pounder, and go more towards your 5'10", 185, your 5'10", 190 guy, you know, like a Jalen Hyatt or somebody like that.
I mean, you could, but it all depends on who you're talking about. I mean, just look at Randy Moss, big, long, fast, 4.3. Then you got Megatron, that's the exact same thing, you know, 4.3, you know, big, physical at the line of scrimmage. You can make the plays downfield. I just think that they got to find a guy, number one, that fits the identity of their team, but also that can stretch the field. Because if you look at the Titans, their receiving core, I'm going to say some names and tell me who stretches the field. Kyle Phillips. Uh-uh. Westbrook. Racy McMath.
He can.
Hollister.
No.
See, there's no fear. If I'm a defensive coordinator, I got to get a player that puts fear in the defensive back, but puts fear in the defensive coordinator. Because the thing about it is, you may get a small guy that's fast but can't run routes. And the same thing as a guy that's big. You want to make sure that it's a combination of both, that he's fast, he's big, he's physical, he's strong, but also he can run routes. Because the thing about it is, if you just go get a speed receiver that's 6'4", 6'5", they're just going to put a safety over top and take him out of the play. But if you have a guy that's big, physical, fast, strong, and can run routes, now you're talking about it brings a little fear in the cornerback, and it brings a little fear in the defensive coordinator. So that's kind of how I look at it a little bit.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. And I think Jalin Hyatt is an interesting name.
He is.
But the thing with him that really I wonder about is, okay, what's it going to be like facing press?
Right,
look
right,
at
right,
the
right.
Film, there's so many free releases. And, yeah, man, he is fast. And he will run right by people. But what happens when hands get put on him? You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying.
I wonder that. And then, you look at other guys. I mean, like you mentioned, Randy Moss, Calvin Johnson. Mm-hmm. Those are literally freaks, right? They're one-of-a-kind type of athletes. You're not going to see that in abundance. So do you think, like, they open up a little bit and be willing to bring on a guy, you know, that isn't the biggest but has just that I got my get somewhere shoes on speed.
Yeah, but he's got to be that complete receiver. You know what I'm saying? Because we always talk about we want to get guys that play fast. But what if you just play fast but you don't understand how to run routes and you can't get off the line of scrimmage? Yeah. I mean, the one cat that I really really love is Zay Flowers. Man, see,
yep.
he's fast and he's explosive. Now that's a dangerous combination. You know, I mean, he mm-hmm. understands how to get routes. He understands how he lies with his eyes. So he's that complete guy. And I want to talk about a guy that I have so much respect for when he played with the Tennessee Titans, Derek Mason. Derek Mason was a 4-5 guy, but he played fast and he created separation. He wasn't the biggest guy in stature, but he understood what to do with the line of scrimmage. He was tough. He can get past the defender. He can get the defensive back's hips locked. So he was creating that separation. So even though he didn't have that top end speed, he still put fear in the defensive back and the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, and I, you know, sometimes you have guys who are a track fast, but not a field fast. How much does knowing your assignment, understanding what part of the route combination you are, how much does that factor into being able to play fast as opposed to not knowing and being out there lost and not running?
Yeah, because the thing about it is, when I first got in the league, you know, I struggled with a little bit of understanding coverages and, you know, understanding things that were going on because of the complex of what the defensive coordinator was doing. But once I understood what the safety was going to do in the body language and what he's going to do if he's cover two and rotating to cover three or something like that, and I understood what he was doing, that I can play fast as opposed to trying to think. I thought on a run, and then I had a chance to play fast. But when I got in the league, man, I struggled with that a little bit. Yeah, I averaged 23.5 yards a catch, and I made the all-rookie team, but I was still raw at learning what the heck was going on. So you just don't want to get a speed guy. Yeah, you can get a speed guy, but you want to make sure that he's fine-tuned. And just like what you said earlier in the show, I got to understand how to get off the press, how to lie with my eyes, and how to stack him, and all those things. Because if you're just a speed guy, and you don't understand the basics of learning the whole position of wide receiver, all you're going to do is just be a deep threat, but they're going to put a safety over and take you out of the game, and you're not going to be valuable to the team.
Literally, it eliminates you. And that's one of the things, DeSean Jackson was a guy I really liked to watch
because they
would do that. But then, like, he had that speed where he was just going to run by it regardless.
Absolutely.
So he was doing that. But then, you know, I really liked seeing how they would actually have him break routes off across the middle, send him in motion. instead of running that go route, he's running a motion running right into the slant. And you just get him the ball. You let him clear that first hash, you know, catch it just before the linebacker. Yep. So he could either fall if there's a hit coming or turn up field and get going. Yep. So I like your point there.
You know, and what was – I can't remember his name. But he came from MTSU, and the Tigers drafted him in the first or second round a while ago. But he didn't pan out to be a good wide receiver because he was just fast. I can't remember his name. But he came out of MTSU.
I think of Tyrone Calico, but I don't think
Calico, yes. Yes, perfect example.
Okay. Yeah,
example.
He was a guy. Yeah.
He was
tall and fast. Yep.
Let me ask you a question. In the combine, who has the fifth fastest time ever in the combine? Tyrone Calico.
Does he really? At 6'4", 220?
It's between 1 and 6. It's one of those. But he's in the top of ever been in the combine. Big, fast, strong.
Wow.
But what he struggled with, TD, is the route running. So that's why he didn't really last in the league that long. And yeah, we got to get fast, but still, you want to be a polished receiver coming out if they're going to put you in that situation.
I did look him up. You're right. MTSU, you were on it. Yeah, you were definitely on it. Hey, how for you, right? We're here at the combine. What are some fond combine memories you had? I remember we talked about this before. Was it Michael West? I think it was.
I'm still mad. Yeah, we had a situation, okay? You know where you check in and do all the stuff and find out what group you're in. So, I walk funny. I walk on my toes. My nickname is Tippy Toes. So I'm walking, and he sees me. And he's in front of everybody. He yells. He's like, look at how he walks. He walks like he walks crazy. He walks funny, this and that. And I ain't going to fight the dude because the dude is a black belt in karate. He kind of swole. You know, he hit that dude from the Commanders, hit him in the nostril. I'm not going to fight that dude. So what I did, as opposed to getting mad at him, he was in my group. I said, here we go. And I looked at him, and I just whispered to him. And, again, I wasn't going to fight him. I said, man, I'm about to kick your butt in every doggone drill. He said, I bet. Man, we ran a 40. I think I ran a faster 40 time than him. He beat me in the three-cone drill, and we were kicking each other's butt. And at the end of the combine, he shook my hand and said, man, hey, you the real deal. That's one of the best memories I've ever had.
That's dope. That's dope. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
I ain't going to fight him, though. No.
Yeah. Hey, man. He was the one. You saw what he did to Steven Davis.
Yeah, I got to pick and fight my battles, dog. You know, I'll fight somebody. No, I'm not messing with that dude.
A certified black belt coming out of Colorado University. Yeah, you keep all that.
You keep
on. I ain't fooling with you.
But it was fun, but the experience was so fun, man. But you watch, and I'm not trying to prolong this thing, but if you watch the whole combine, and you watch your group, and you watch other groups, you could tell who was made for it. And when I say made for the stage like this, look in the guy's eyes. Look at his body language. Look at when they call his name to run the 40. Is he confident? You knew that guy's going to make it. That guy's going to make it. That guy's going to make it because of his eyes and the way he looked and the way he approached the game. Guys were nervous. No guys were playing around. No guys were joking. Guys were serious. But you can look at a person's body language and say, they're going to make it or not going to make it. And there was a guy from Notre Dame. He was a punt returner. He was one of the best punt returners to ever come out of Notre Dame. And at that year, he was leading the whole country in punt return. So he gets up there. He back before the season started, they said he ran a 4.3 or 4.2. He was so nervous, he ran a 4.8. And then he gets in that drill where you catch the ball, you turn, and you look at all the quarterbacks are throwing to you. Every ball hit him in the snoot. And he went from supposed to being a first runner to not getting drafted. And those are the kind of things that you remember at the combine.
Wow. They say, listen, you know what happens, right? Sometimes you wither, but other times you get fresher. Under pressure.
Yeah, absolutely, TD.
So, real quick, any guys, I know you mentioned Zay Flowers, anybody just on either side of the ball you are looking for to have a standout or that you want to see how they perform in the combine? I'll give you my guy.
Yes.
Will McDonald, the fourth. I want to see how he's an Iowa State edge defender.
Uh-huh.
Really, really athletic guy. He said he patterns his spin move after Max Crosby and Von Miller.
Oh, what?
I thought that was pretty cool. But Yeah, but he's super athletic, right? He's 6'3", 240. I want to see what he does. Who's a guy, if you had to pick one, that you are really looking forward to seeing at the combine?
Man, the quarterback, Anthony Richardson. And the reason why, that's good. You know, he has all the tools. He's speed, power, mobility, savvy in the pocket, you know, fundamentally sound, but it's a boom or bust. I want to see what he can do when he's getting coached. I want to see what he can do when the pressure's on. Because everybody, he's 232 pounds. He's big. He's physical. He passes the eye test. But I want to see, does he pass the touch when he's getting coached, when he's saying, throw it at this guy, throw it at that, throw it to a spot, look at the long ball, and he feels a little pressure. I want to see what he does. That intrigues me to the utmost.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, there we have it.
You got me all excited, man. Dang it.
Hey, man, that's the thing. Hey, when you love what you do, you get excited about it, man. So it's only natural.
Hey, man, before we go, man, I was watching Different Strokes.
And oh, boy, okay.
Gary Coleman was there, and Willis was there. And my daughter's like, Dad, you know TD? I'm like, yeah. She's like, he's really good. He was at the HBCU Combine. He was on ESPN doing some great things. Like, Dad, does he look like Gary Coleman or Willis? And I said, yeah, he looks like Gary Coleman. She's like, yeah, he did on it.
You big dummy.
What's up, everybody? This is Teron Davenport here for Superbook Sports, and I want you to add this to your New Year's resolutions. Win money in 2023 with Superbook Sports. Superbook has over 3 decades of sports wagering experience in Las Vegas, so you'll get the best odds anywhere as we head into the football playoffs. Plus, check out their special odds boosts and promotions at superbook.com. Make 2023 the year where you win money from Vegas. Download the Superbook Sports app now and place your bets. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
Oh, this is Roger McQuarrie, and I'm talking with TD.
Yeah, you hear that Wu-Tang, Cash Rules, everything around me. That's exactly what is coming to fruition. You're listening to Talking with TD. I'm Teron Davenport. We're going to continue this show. This time we're going to focus on some of the draft things that are coming out of the combine. It's an interesting time. As you see, Mike Vrabel is out there. Rand Carthon is out there. You got the position coaches out there. And while we're talking position coaches, shout out to Terrell Williams, the D-line coach, who was able to add assistant head coach to his job title. That's an accomplishment. It's really dope for him to be able to do that and, you know, have that title added. I think when you look at just the way this coaching staff is comprised, it's an outstanding group. And especially defensively, you know, you got Ryan Crow. He'll be working with Lil Locus, the first female full-time head coach in Titans history. Mike Vrabel was also out here at the female, it's not a combine. There was a convention, Women of the Combine. That's what it was. He was out here for that as well. So obviously a very forward-thinking kind of thing that you're seeing from Mike Vrabel. So that's exciting to hear. But you're getting to talk to these guys. And one of the things, so far we got to talk to the outside linebackers and defensive linemen. And I spent some time, you know, with Derek Hall, who's a guy that was down there at the Senior Bowl. And he was a standout. You know, he has a very violent game. We talked a little bit about his pass rush moves and how he goes about, you know, attacking offensive linemen. He likes to play with a lot of power. That's something that's really big for him. Let's go ahead and go to Derek Hall, and you'll be surprised. There's a name that the Titans have on their staff that was down there in Mobile that he mentioned as one of the guys he really liked to work with. Here's Derek Hall, Auburn outside linebacker.
Sebo is great. Like I said, being able to learn from the best, you know, over a wide variety and not just having two staff there, learning from the best and then had opportunity to play against the best, you know, play with guys from a lot of different backgrounds, a lot of different areas was really good for me.
Have you met with the Patriots?
The biggest thing for me was just continue to build on what I've already shown on tape and really just putting it out there in front of those guys. So really being stout in a run defense. You know, the biggest thing for me, and then my ability just to go out and, you know, be powerful in my pass rush, you know, not be very passive, be aggressive, you know, and just really show what I can do. But I definitely learned a lot off the field when it comes to the terminology, you know, the scheme, really trying to learn that defense and, you know, really get ahead on the NFL side of the ball.
What's some of the feedback that you got back from the coaches that you work with?
Yeah, I mean, they loved it. You know, I worked with Clint from the Titans.
Yeah.
You know, that guy's a character. You know, he's very funny. He makes the job fun. So being able to have an opportunity to work with him and then work around a lot of different guys, I mean, he loved every second of it, so did I.
Yeah, and as far as your pass rush arsenal, like, what are some of your go-to moves, and what do you do, like, to work off of those?
Yeah, so I love my stab. Stab number one for me, and then off that stab, I can stab to a club, you know, I can stab to a raise, I can stab to a pump, I can do a lot of things like that. Then I love my speed chop, cross chop, chop spin. So, you know, there's a lot of different things, you know, that I feel like I do really well.
So, I like the way he put together some of the moves, like he layered them. I want to talk about that. But first, Clinton McMillan. He is, if you look at my videos, David, of the D-line, when they're doing the kickball drills, he's the one throwing the kickball.
Oh,
or
really?
You look at my video, yeah, where they're doing the drills where they're running under the chute to stay low and fire out. He's the one has the football on the stick and he's hiking it. That's Clinton McMillan. He went down to the Senior Bowl and he got to work with the prospects. That's something that they were doing to get some of the assistant coaches some more time, right, and an opportunity to have an increased role. And it paid off, right, because Derek Hall, as he mentioned, you know, really liked the way Clinton McMillan made it fun. And I remember watching them in one-on-ones, you know, they were giving them two, sometimes three reps back-to-back against the offensive linemen in those one-on-one pass rushing drills. And that's when you have to be able to, okay, boom, I beat him with a bull rush. Okay, he's going to be expecting the bull. What am I going to do off of that? And I thought when you look at Derek Hall and how he talked about layering his moves, right? So if you picture the stab, so let's say you're coming from the left side, right? And you start using that stab, and let's say you're able to stab him with your left hand, right? So you could use the stab, and you're stabbing his outside shoulder, and then you could club him with your inside hand. So that's the stab club that he mentioned, right? And then you hear him talk about the stutter and then the spin, right? So you can make a move, you can stutter, make a move inside and spin on the outside, or you could attack that outside shoulder, stutter, and spin back inside. These are the ways that these guys are layering their moves, and I like the way Derek Hall was very clear with how he has his pass rush plan put together. And he is a guy, heavy hands. I got to talk to him on the side a little bit afterwards. He said he had an informal meeting with the Titans. They obviously had a lot of time with him down there in the Senior Bowl. I know he's someone that's on their radar. Another guy on their radar is Will McDonald IV. And he was really impressive. I talked to him about the weight. He played at about 235, you know, at 6'3". The cool thing was, even though he was 235, 243, he bumped inside and played interior D lineman. They did a lot of three down sets, right? So he was kind of like a five technique, a three technique at times, you know, playing inside that center, or excuse me, that tackles, playing on his inside shoulder. And then at times he even went head up on the center at zero tech. I think when you have a guy that's versatile like that, I asked him, David, I'm like, yo, like you're 240, you're 6'3", obviously built for playing on the edge. What was up with them moving you inside? And he was like, man, I wanted that. I wanted opportunities to not just whoop the offensive tackle's tails. I want to whoop up on the interior guys too. I thought that was pretty cool how he, you know, said he embraced being able to do that. And taking on that role of being a versatile player. Now, that won't happen in the league. I'll be shocked, honestly, if he plays zero in the NFL. But he did tell me that he wants to get up to 250 pounds. maintain the speed that he has, but just be a more powerful player. He's someone I know the Titans have interest in. He did have a meeting with them, so there's interest there. Obviously, the Bud Dupree situation, that's something that may happen on March 15th. There could be some terminology in there that will push it forward to the 15th if they do release him. But if they go that route, right, it's going to come down to, okay, how are you going to replace that? Because you do need that depth there. And quite frankly, when the Titans have Bud Dupree on the field, that defense is different. You saw Harold Landry's numbers shoot up. You saw Jeffrey Simmons' numbers shoot up. You saw DeNico Autry's numbers shoot up. So all together, they, you know, it's kind of like Voltron, right? They come together, five parts, and boom, now you've got a beast on your hands. So we'll see how that carries out. But I wanted to mention those two edge guys because they stood out. There's a bunch there. You know, another guy that stood out to me was Kalijah. I can never pronounce, I always mess his name up. He's from Pitt, and he has a good relationship with Rashad Weaver. And he talked a little bit about that, just, you know, how he's gotten some feedback and some suggestions on how to go through the process. And speaking of teammates, that's one thing I did fail to mention. Derek Hall was teammates with Roger McQuarrie at Auburn. And he said he got to talk to him and get tips on, you know, how to make it through the process, because it is a long, grueling process. So that was pretty cool. But the Pitt D tackle, Kalijah Cansey, that's how I had to look up the pronunciation. He is a guy that is about 6'1", 280. Man, you talk about beating down interior guys. You watch his film, man. There's film of him, like, putting a hurting on some of these centers. And he's someone I asked him about just the leverage side of things, just being able to take advantage of naturally being low to the ground, right? He's 6'1". He's actually going to win that leverage battle more times than not. And he focused on his quickness, his footwork. He said it, when you're a smaller guy, it's so important to be technically sound. And when it comes to guys that he patterned his game off of, he mentioned two that I think are perfect fits. Javon Hargrave, who is the D tackle for the Eagles. He was with the Steelers previously. And then he mentioned Grady Jarrett, two really good, solid players. And he also mentioned Quinnen Williams as someone that he watched. So I thought that was a standout. Now, Mike Vrabel, and I touched on this in the opener, I touched on just the fact that they have typically gone towards bigger receivers. In fact, if you look last year, Mason Kinsey, Robert Woods, Kyle Phillips, those were the only guys on the roster who weren't at least like 6'1". And then you go back to before then, I mean, it was Mason Kinsey, you know, was the only, and he's, you know, practice squad to on the roster, the practice squad. He was the only one that was, you know, under like 6'2". So traditionally, this Titans team has had a likeness for bigger receivers. So naturally, you know, it was a great question by Paul Kaharsky asking Mike Vrabel about how this speed may come in another package and how it may have to cause them to shop at a different market. Here's Mike Vrabel on the size and speed aspect of receivers.
I think that you're looking for how they are able to produce with the skill set that they have. And big and fast is a great place to start, knowing that we need to get faster throughout our roster. But there's a couple ways to skin a cat, and making sure that, you know, you're not, you know, if you come off that model a little bit, there has to be some other things. If a guy doesn't have 34-inch arms and you're like, well, we'd really like to have that, you know, are there other skill sets that they exhibit and can they function and do their job outside of that? So, you know, we know kind of where we need to be with that position in the wide receiver room. And then we'll just kind of carve out, see where we end up in free agency, see where we end up in the draft. And then, you know, obviously as players become available, there's different opportunities to add players to your roster.
There you have it right there, right? So you're going to have to kind of look under a different rock, so to speak. And there's plenty of speed out here. Jalin Hyatt is another one. You know, that's a guy that could burn. There's so many guys out there that have a lot of lot of speed. You could go to Cincinnati, right? And they have a receiver that's pretty fast as well. He was down there at the Senior Bowl. I want to see what these guys run, you know, because that's going to be a tangible way of seeing that speed. But then you got to see, do they play fast? Because a lot of times you have guys out there not really knowing where they're going. And then suddenly that speed is gone. That's something I'm going to ask Chris Sanders about that the next time I get to talk to him. That would be a cool conversation to have. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys out there for them to look at the receiver position. Now, didn't really get to get much into the offensive linemen. Those guys are going to be later on Saturday. So this show will have already been recorded, but it's going to be good chopping it up with those guys, you know, getting some of their feedback. One other standout, Will Anderson, the Alabama edge defender. He was asked the one that he said was Darnell Wright out of Tennessee. And if you go back and watch that game, David, that was Wright said that was his best game as a prospect. You know, he said he really studied up on Will Anderson. And he was proud of the job that he did against him. So the O-line is deep, man. It is really deep. There's free agents that could be signed as well. Pick number 11 is going to be interesting how that plays out. But wanted to just give you a little bit of a tour around, you know, some of the things we did at the Combine. Definitely appreciate each of you for tuning in. We're going to have these prospects start rolling in soon, and that's gonna, you know, just take this to another level, right? The Talking with TD prospect draft prospect interview series is coming up soon. Like I said, I appreciate each of you for tuning in. Shout out to Chris Sanders coming on Talking Shop with Run TMC. David James, as always, back.
Yes, from sir.
Coming back from Cali. Hope you enjoyed your trip out there. We made it work last week, so hey, man. Time off is needed for everybody.
Yes, sir. Yes, it always is.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So speaking of time off, that's not something we do around here. So definitely make sure you tune in next week as we bring another show. Check us out on Google Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you get your fine listening materials. Search Talking with TD. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.